So here it is. It's Memorial Day weekend coming up. We're hard on Memorial Day weekend, and we have a lot to be memorializing. Not only all of our brave war dead from vast fields and forests and deserts, but we also have just celebrated Law Enforcement Officers Memorial to honor the brave thin blue line that protects us from people that want to do things like blow up 8-year-old little girls. But don't forget, we can't judge to jump to conclusions because, it's Muslims. What do you know? Say it ain't so, Joe. But I'll tell you what is so. We're ready for another edition of Political QRM. What number is this anyway? Buckle up and lock and load.
Hi, folks. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Anne Marie, and my counterpart is Lou.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Lou. I have to just start off with it. Great Britain is destroying itself. Theresa May came out, and I read her remarks on the Manchester bombing, and it was congratulating all those who came together, and we won't be defeated, blah, 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 blah. But still, they make no mention of the fact that it's Islam. And I'll tell you something. I got to go off here. There is a Boston, I listen to them in the morning, and Kim Carrigan, her name is, she's on WRKO, and her counterpart, VB, who at least has some brains, he's a guy. But she's going on and on and on, the fact that, well, you know, this guy was from Libya. He wasn't an Englishman. And she said, we don't have that problem here in the United States with Muslims and America. I was like, what?
Where does she live?
Boston area, for
obviously,
God's sake.
Yeah, obviously not Dearborn. Obviously not Lewiston. Obviously not, you know,
exactly.
Any one of it.
So, you know,
I mean, if she's in
thing.
Boston, she could drive to, you know, Lewiston and see what's going on.
Hell, I mean, go to Lawrence.
Or Portlandistan up there in Maine.
But let me tell you something. The thing is that these people still don't get it. They seem they're still separating Islam from these people from these terrorists. They're one and the same. And I don't know how many times I have to say this. Islam. Erdogan, president of Turkey, said it. There is no radical Islam. There is no moderate Islam. There is just Islam. And people don't get what he said. And let me tell you, the jihadi, I'm going to say this again, folks, the jihadi is the army. They get out there and commit the terror attacks. And the quote-unquote moderate Muslims that everybody keeps saying exist, they're the civilians. And what they do is they take steps to change culture, the laws, traditions, insert their culture and completely dominate ours and Western civilization's culture. And people don't get it. They have to go under the radar. And that's what the Council on American Islamic Relations does. They're a terrorist organization.
Yeah, they're the smoke screen in front.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're the chaff in front of the radar.
So now we have a bunch of young kids dead, and they still don't get it. And the news keeps going on and on about, oh, there might be backlash on the Muslims. They're more worried about that.
The guy whose hand I want to shake, and I don't recall his name, the guy whose hand I want to shake is the guy who is the police chief of Manchester, England.
Okay.
Because I want to shake his hand for having been able to survive this long on a planet being that doggone stupid.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's true. Yes. Yeah.
You know, how did you do you have a little thing in your earbud that says breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out?
And what did he say?
Because he said, we will tolerate no hate to our Muslim community.
You believe that?
Yeah. I was listening, and another woman who writes for the Daily Mail, Katie Hopkins, actually got reported to the police and now is under investigation for having said crime speech.
That's what they're calling it?
And, yeah, she tweeted out crime speech. And so she's under investigation for it. Wait, they're investigating her for crime speech. And basically, well, the way she responded to that was, oh, it's not okay to tweet, you know, that we need to, you know, contain this, that we need to aggressively fight this, but it's okay to blow up little girls. You know, and it's this whole thing of moral equivalency that I just, you know, and you know, Katy Perry, who up until, you know, the election, I really had no idea who the hell she was. Mm-hmm. And she's another one of those Disney Nickelodeon singy poppy things, you know, kind of a person. And she's like, the only way we can solve these things is with love and open borders.
Well, wait a minute. While she has a lot of security surrounding her, she can go and live in her estate, which is probably has gates around it. I mean, come on. Please.
Oh, wait. No. Even Ariana Grande, whose concert this travesty took place at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw an interesting graphic on the internet yesterday that says, who is Ariana Grande? She's a Trump-hating, America-bashing, Women's March organizing, pink hat-wearing, sign-carrying, Hollywood elitist who is now sitting in a hotel room surrounded by heavily armed guards wishing she was back in the America she hates.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, she is so upset that she canceled the rest of her tour. Like, I really give a damn about you, Ariana Grande. I care more for the families who lost their little girls and other people that were killed. You know what, Ariana Grande?
I think she was coerced. I think she was coerced.
Coerced? What do you mean?
Yes. I think if she's going to be the magnet, I think they probably looked at her tour dates, her schedule. I don't know it, but I mean, she was in Manchester. I don't know where else she's going to perform. But, you know, they might have looked at her tour, and the people along the way on the tour said, no, we don't want that. Cancel that. You know, and she might have turned around and realized that if she had 10 stops left on her tour, 9, you know, venues just said, you know, well, what are you going to do? You're going to cancel the other one, right? You know,
it's like,
you know, let alone the fact that 8-year-old girl saved their allowance for 3 years to go and see her, right? You know,
exactly.
Kind of a thing, but. Well, you know,
so here
this
they
is
are.
The thing.
What?
This is the thing. You get, like, concert season is coming up. It's May. Memorial Day weekend, as I mentioned, is this weekend.
Right.
And that means there are going to be all kinds of tours, all kinds of, I mean, two of them that my late son
week.
Used to.
Fleet Week this
is
week
it?
In New York City, yes. This is Fleet Week.
Oh, you're going to be, they're going to be jammed with machine guns over there. Are you kidding me?
I
Nobody's
so.
Going to pull anything. But two of them that my late son used to go to was it's called a Vans Tour, which I understand is a brand of sneakers, and they put on this indie rock concert that travels the country.
Okay.
And the Lollapalooza Tour.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one.
Or Rockapalooza.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. He used to go to, he used to come to, what up there in, name of that joint up there in past Hackettstown in New Jersey.
Brain dead.
Yeah, and then there was another one over in Stanhope, and then there was another one, you know, somewhere else that they used to have these tours. It was like an independent Woodstock kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it
yeah.
was like basically harmless. It's a lot of fun. I mean, yeah, you had your pickpockets and stuff, but, you know. But these places are going to be crawling with thousands and thousands of young people.
That's right.
And... Even I saw this morning on the news from up in Maine, I saw that the one big...
And that's a prime target for terrorists now. It's going to be young people.
Mm-hmm.
Not
well, they showed up in Maine. They showed up in Maine where they're going to put these fences. They use these stockade fences and stuff like that, but they can be very quickly by security staff, you know, 30-foot sections of fence dropped. Mm-hmm. You know, just dropped outward, and the kids can run across it, you know, kind of a thing. So, you know, that's not a bad idea. But what are you going to, you know, what are you, how do you justify it? How do you turn to your kid? You know, I'm not talking about an 8-year-old, which I'm sorry, in my humble opinion, you know, an 8-year-old shouldn't have been at an Ariana Grande concert.
No,
anyway.
No, no, I mean, it's too young.
Never heard her music. I had never heard her music before. So I said to Debbie, I said, you know, let's see what it is. And she says, I think I heard one of her songs one time, but I can't be sure because we don't listen to radio stations that play it largely.
No.
So we went on to, you know, one of the major video sources on the internet, and we watched one or two. Actually, we didn't watch one or two. We watched pieces of one or two. I'm not happy with an 8-year-old girl, if it was my 8-year-old girl, listening and seeing the stuff on the screen.
Most of the artists are like that now, unfortunately. And that's what's out there.
How do you turn to a kid who's 15, 16, 17 years old, especially one that's gone to one of these concert tour things before and come home unscathed, you know? How do you turn to them and say, you know, I really don't want you going?
Well,
you don't, because that's what terrorists want.
Yeah, exactly. See, they figure that if they kill enough of the younger people, the parents are going to be so upset that they are going to prevent their children from attending things like this.
Right.
In fear of...
Right.
So it's a well-thought-out plan. There's many different points to their goal. I mean, you know, the goal's in the middle, and everything, all these things have to be ticked off. Islam is still a threat, always has been a threat. Unfortunately, now it has been given the opportunity to spread. And Europe is right now bearing the brunt of their stupidity.
Well, and Britain is bearing the brunt. You know,
critical level, and you know, and it's like, really? Now, why is this, folks? Why?
Well, did you hear what Theresa May said?
Yeah,
she said that the level to critical, which means that not only is it, you know, very likely another attack could be imminent.
Yes, I know.
Wow, that's a big difference from saying, hey, you know, if you see something, say something, you know.
Let me just tell you something. The thing is that this is what they have brought upon their people. And to live in an atmosphere like this, this is inexcusable. I hate to say this, but you're going to have to get rid of Islam in your country. You're going to have to start kicking them out. Because there are these people that they bring in. Now, this is amazing. You have these quote-unquote refugees that come from these countries, and then you find them going back there for vacations. Wait a minute. If they were fleeing their country because they felt their life was in danger, why are they going back? And why are they allowed to come back in? Well, obviously, they weren't. Now, you and I know the answer to that, okay? This is not a refugee thing. It's an invasion. But
and why did they,
these people
why did
are
they
so
flee?
Stupid.
Why do they flee their own country where they're threatened their safety and all that other stuff? You know, they're afraid, and so they leave, and then they, you know, but they came without their women and kids.
Exactly. That's another thing.
You know, look, you know, England has been allowing people pretty much to come in and sit down, you know, since the Raj.
That's true.
You know,
that is their fault, because if you were a member of the British Empire, you automatically, you know, had citizenship and you could come into the country. Okay, so this has been going on for centuries.
Yep.
We know that.
Yes.
But what they don't do now is that they do not protect their citizens. There is a threat
I said,
you know?
The guy said, the one guy said they won't tolerate hate towards the Muslim community, and another guy said it's time to get back to business as usual. And, you know,
in other words, sweeping this all under the rug until the next one comes out, and then they can all sit there with tears in their eyes and say, "Oh, this is a horrible thing." But you know what? Let's let it not defeat us. It's a bunch of blah blah.
Let it not defeat us? Well, guess what, folks? They're defeating us. You know, in one town, in one city, in one venue. You know, every time you turn around, every time somebody in Sweden prints a new poster that's supposed to be given to each immigrant, you know, refugee, saying this isn't the way we do things here, and you know, and it's written in four or five different languages, all of which they're illiterate in.
That's right.
But every time they have another expose, you know, whether it's Assange or anybody else that, mm-hmm. you know, leaks the fact that the statistics that the Swedish government, the Dutch government, the Norwegian government release about, you know, sex crimes and, you know, stuff and no-go zones and stuff, where they show that, you know, they're underestimating some of them by 90%.
I know. Amazing.
You know, but when you get every time you go to some place and you find out that it's a public pool, but it's only public part of the time, you know, there's certain days when it's only Muslims. And then, you know, you get to the point where, you know, you can't fire a retail clerk working someplace or a cab driver working someplace who won't deal with bacon or alcohol. Mm-hmm. They're winning.
Yeah.
They're winning.
Yeah, and you know what else is going on in the UK right now? Because Ramadan is coming up, they, in the schools, are making allowances for all the children. And so, you know, okay, you don't have to take your exams at this time, and yes, we will have a prayer room set aside for you. And I'm like, wait a minute, do you know? And I don't know if people know this, but do you know that Catholics are supposed to pray 5 times a day? Did you know that?
Most people are not aware.
They're not aware. And yet, and I also know other Christians who basically pray 5 times a day on their own. They may just sit at their desk and just kind of bow their head and just say something, then go back to work. Okay? We don't ask for any special accommodation. We never have. But because you know why? Because religion was a personal thing, is a personal thing to us. And what
In Augusta, Maine, a teacher, mm-hmm. right, said to somebody, they were talking in the hallway or something, and said, "I'll pray for you." And she got in trouble for it.
She's Louise.
You know, did they create prayer rooms for, you know, if a kid goes, I think this past Sunday was Ascension. You know, this past Sunday was the end of Easter. It was the Ascension. You know, okay, so that's a Sunday. But any other holiday that comes along, did they set aside Christian rooms? Did they say, well, no, you don't have to take your exam on that day?
Yeah. I know. They don't.
Hindu fests, you know, Holi and the Shwala and all these other, you know, they don't get those kind of special.
Let's try and get down to the nitty gritty. So why is the world making allowances for Islam? Why?
Moral relativism.
Moral? Wait a minute. Excuse me. Morality and Islam don't go together.
No, of course not. But that's like saying ethics in Congress. You know,
that's true.
You know, I think what it is this is left over. Why else would we see young people are young people, and that's why they're called young people. You know, I mean, so mm-hmm. you can't count a lot of that. But why do we see people that are not so much young people, but are, you know, because I stopped calling people kid at probably around 25 or 30. Mm-hmm. You know, why do we see people walking around at 35, you know, who still do things like walk around with a Shea shirt on or a Fidel shirt on?
I don't know, stupidity.
Or a Mao shirt on, or a Stallion shirt on? And it's not so much stupid. We're talking about people with, you know, very high IQs and very big degrees and stuff like that. That's just the way they believe.
Then they're communists.
You know, and I got no problem with anything anybody believes as long as they keep it to their damn self. I don't want to hear that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, when we're on here, I'm very vocal about what I believe, and I'm very vocal about how I feel about things. Mm-hmm. And when I'm online and I'm, you know, writing essays and tweets and books and everything else, I'm very vocal. But when I'm around, you know, my own family, I don't talk about any of that stuff. I don't want to, you know, they don't want to hear that stuff, and I don't want to hear their stuff either. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm around other friends, there's other friends I've got that I know they don't agree with me on, you know, the grosser points, let alone the finer points. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's it. It's a personal thing. Whether it's religion, whether it's politics, whether it's, you know, anything, you know. But, you know, people actually believe this crap. And, you know, and it started, I guess, just immediately after the war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think this had a lot to do with it. And then we went through the civil rights movement. And then we were, you know, dealing with the Vietnam War and all this other stuff. And it all became, everything started going from, you know, hard work, sweat, you know, belief in your rights, belief in your country, belief in your God, talking to only yourself or your family or whatever about these things, to now it's all, you know, and the left is more vocal than the right because the left has things to do. You know, the left has an agenda. The right has things to do.
Yeah, that's true.
And everything is relative. You know, and when we're still doing the kumbaya, sticking daisies in the rifles thing. And that's why. That's what it is.
But, you know, but I guess Muslims are really good at victimhood. And making themselves appear as victims.
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh,
the thing.
Yeah. I don't want to put on a tinfoil
right now.
I don't want to put on a tinfoil hat, you know, just now. But I'd be willing to bet that if you follow back the first time anybody said the words Islamophobia, it was probably somebody from CARE.
Probably. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Look, regardless, I really think that people have to have their eyes opened, okay? And they're refusing it. Because if they do not acknowledge it, then they will not have to take steps to alleviate the problem.
Well, again, you know, as I said.
And the thing is, Lou, is that you have all these things happening and, you know, everybody's talking about all these moderate Muslims who are peaceful. Well, I have a question. Where are all the imams from these mosques decrying the violence? Where are they coming out and saying this is disgusting? No, they're not doing it, folks. Bear that in mind, folks.
Been.
They're not doing it. They're not going to because they silently back these people. And let me just say, anybody from Great Britain,
tacit approval is approval nonetheless.
Yes. You people in Great Britain better start getting your act together. Or all you women are going to be wearing burkas. And it's going to be mandatory. Because what they're going to say is, well, we don't want to insult the Muslims. So you guys better try and take your culture back. They failed in France. France is going bye-bye.
Yes.
They failed in France.
And in Sweden, and in Denmark, and in Holland, and in
Germany.
Yeah, all those.
Goodbye.
Germany.
I would not be a bit surprised if there was a mass migration to the United States of Christians and Jews from Europe. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Did you hear what was happening in Hamburg, Germany? If a landlord or an owner has a house or apartments that are vacant, the government is taking them over to house the refugees, quote unquote. And not only are they doing that, if the government makes changes or updates it, they're charging the homeowner. I read this. Yep. I was like, oh my God, what is wrong with you people?
Oh, I saw one in Dusseldorf. I think it was Dusseldorf. Don't hold me to it. It had one of those S's in it that looked like a B or whatever. If I recall, it was Dusseldorf. There's a beautiful apartment building, or was a beautiful apartment building, and they filled it up with quote-unquote refugees. Mm-hmm. And they have, I love it, they showed the picture, right? They said, oh, you know, here's the, we accommodate them with all this stuff, including garbage removal. Mm-hmm. And basically what they do is go out on the balcony and throw it over the side.
Isn't that amazing?
So the entire courtyard is just stacking trash. Deeper and deeper in trash. And in Paris, you can't walk down the beautiful, mm-mm. City of Lights, the streets of the City of Lights. You know, it's just, look,
not anymore.
How's it going to change? I'll tell you how it's going to change. And this is the thing where it gets really dicey. And I said this to you off air the other day. I said it a little differently. Crap happens, but it can't change your life until it happens to you.
True.
You know, there was an old, being from a, more urban setting than, before I went to Maine. Mm-hmm. We used to have an adage that was, do you know what a liberal is? And the answer was a conservative who hasn't been mugged yet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, it's exactly that. Because you know something, I guarantee you, out of the 22 dead, and what is it now, 59 injured?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Many more injured, but 59 injured.
And who knows?
Listed.
Who knows how many more are going to die from their injuries? You know, the death toll will probably go up.
I bet you that at least one out of that many people, because you're talking 60, 80 something people. Mm-hmm. At least one of those people was there at that concert thinking, oh, all we need is peace, love, and open borders.
Yep.
And, hand in hand with our Muslim neighbors and stuff. And today, when they saw their girlfriend, their boyfriend, their sister, or somebody get blown in pieces by nails and ball bearings and nuts and bolts and screws, they're probably sitting there saying, I'm going to go get me a muzzy.
Yeah.
Just that way,
So, but the thing is that attitude is now frowned upon by the politicians and the authorities. It's an honest reaction. And
not
many people have. But the thing is, it's like the authorities will make these people who have been touched by this tragedy to be the aggressors.
Of course.
They'll turn it around. And that's how they keep them in a little box, and they keep them quiet and silent
and
afraid.
Because they're afraid. They're afraid of full-scale revolution against the government's policies.
Yes.
While, Brexit is being moved along apace.
Yes, it is.
So they're going to start making their own laws again. And once they no longer have to report at all to Brussels, then maybe there's hope. Probably not, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'll tell you what. We just said Germany, France, are pretty much toast.
Mm-hmm.
England's on its way. Sweden, yep. Denmark, Holland, Norway, definitely, and that's just saying there. Then you get across and you get into Italy, which of course Sicily doesn't have the problem because they've got the wise guys there. You get into Spain, Portugal, Andalusia.
You would think Spain would have learned its lesson, 700 years ago.
The last time.
But they didn't, obviously.
So you take all of that, and then you take Turkey, and you take Yugoslavia, and you take Albania, God. And you start looking at these places.
The only few countries that are safe is Hungary and Poland, I believe, right? They're the ones that are refusing to take
Poland
any of these
that's
peoples
right.
in. And Hungary also, So it's they're going to start building. I think they've already started building walls.
Well, you got to understand when you're in Poland, you're leaning hard on the steps. Mm-hmm. You go a thousand or so miles in from, go up to Warsaw, make a right. You go a thousand or so miles and you're talking about you're already in an essentially Muslim nation in some mm-hmm. of the stands and stuff. These are Muslim nations. And I think you're probably safer in Saudi Arabia today than you are in England.
Oh God, don't even get me started on that. Let's let's jump to Trump
Let me jump to Trump because I loved when he said, evil losers
mm-hmm.
and dirty rats. And stuff like that. People say, he didn't say Islamic terrorism. Oh, please.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Like the ones who thought.
Obama always used to say misguided youth, you know, when this stuff used to happen. Misguided youth.
Workplace violence.
Yeah, workplace violence or the JV team. Oh, boy.
Misguided youth. Wasn't the Fort Hood shooter like 40 years old?
Something like that. Oh, they tried to blame that on PTSD, and the guy never left the States, I believe. Stupid. But Trump, I think, did a wonderful, wonderful job over in the Middle East. When he went to Israel, Netanyahu's smile was so wide and genuine.
Mm-hmm.
And so was his mm-hmm. wife, Sarah. I mean, they were just...
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Israel does have a friend in the United States once again.
And we have a friend in Israel once
exactly,
again.
Exactly, exactly. And we respect them, and they respect us, and we're going to stand by them as well we should.
People, like, I know that he was, at least at one point this morning, our time, he was with the Pope.
Oh, yeah. Who gave him a book on the environment or something, on protecting the environment. Yeah, come on, Francis. You know, get over it. How about protecting Christians? How about that, Pope Francis?
Right. So he went to see the Pope, and I know that there was some tension. They said that there would be. They didn't say there was, because it was in advance, so they didn't know that there could be some tension over the wall issue. You know, a campaign issue from then candidate Trump.
Mm-hmm.
About building the wall, and of course we all know that Pope Francis, was out against the wall.
Mm-hmm. Can you just please enlighten people who don't know why the wall around the Vatican was built? Who's it to keep
against
out?
The Muslims?
There you go.
The Muslims. They learned their lesson after the Goths and Visigoths and all those other guys came through. They built a wall to keep out the Muslims.
That is like, I know we have a pope now who says, you know, we're not being Christian if we don't let these people in to kill us. I mean, come on.
He goes to see, they said there would be some, you know, but I look at it this way. He had just left Israel, mm-hmm. right?
And I don't have the wall statistics. And went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre.
Of
right?
course.
And he
of
did.
Course. He
but
went there.
He, was
he
the
went
first?
To the well, the Western
first?
Wall with his son-in-law and his daughter. He was the first sitting president to go.
Yes. Yes.
And I think the fact that his first overseas trip was to the Middle East in the first place was a coup right there. You know,
yes.
And if they weren't busy talking about Russia over and over again, people of America might have heard this. Here's the thing. Not only is there a wall around the Vatican, but he had just left Israel, who some years ago put up a wall.
Right.
And, again, I don't have the statistics in front of me. I meant to write them down. But it dropped the incidence of terror in the streets by 80-something percent.
Wow. See? Makes a difference.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And... wherein is this rub? Wherein is this rub that the ambulances and stuff run by Hadassah, go and they pick up people on the street who are wounded and hurt and injured or it's a car crash or whatever, and they don't ask, are you a Jew? Are you a Muslim? Are you a Christian? Are you a Buddhist? Are you a Hindu? No, they don't ask. They pick you up. They patch you up. They take you to the hospital. They get you there. They treat you.
That's right.
And there are Muslims and Christians in the Knesset.
That's right.
There are Muslims and Christians in the army.
And there are also women. Let's not forget.
There are women. Yep. Oh, my God. Look at the IDF. Oh, they
I
put
know,
out a calendar.
I know so many men out there that just salivate when they see the women of the IDF.
You can't blame us.
I know. But it's obligatory. They have to serve. And I actually agree with that. I agree with that. We should do it here.
Well, I've been a proponent of national service for a long, long time. Since I wore green clothes, mm-hmm. I believe that everybody upon you know, age 18 and graduates high school, mm-hmm. you know, I believe that every single one, and yes, women, and, you know, yes, white, black, and brown,
yep,
and yes, Christian, Muslim, Jew. I mean, all right, you got, you know, people say, oh, you can't because some. No, I didn't say they had to go in the Army.
No.
I didn't say they had to go in the Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard. You know, I mean, we had.
I think the draft should come back.
Conscientious.
No.
Huh?
I think that the draft should come back.
I don't think we should need one. I think, as I said, national service. You know,
it's
you,
not gonna
you get
happen.
People.
Oh, come on.
We always had room for the conscientious objector, the Quakers, the Shakers,
That's
and
true.
Stuff like that.
That's true.
You know, in the military, and that doesn't mean that you can't go and. You know what I'd like? I'd like to have them have a service corps of youths who can climb phone poles and put, you know, cable infrastructure in so I can get off this goofy satellite thing.
Oh, we're making it personal now, right?
Yeah. Well, I can't do it. I mean, I can't get my...
Hey, you already served. You served in a big way, my dear man. You served
but,
in a big
you know,
way.
There's no reason. There's so many projects.
No.
And I don't mean make work projects.
Hey, they have you know, those things,
so
and you have to no.
These kids,
AmeriCorps,
yeah, these
come
kids
on.
These kids come out of school all full of global warming and climate change and all this other stuff. Well, fine. You know what? Here's a flood control levee that needs to be dealt with. Here's a national forest that needs to be, you know. Maintained and you know forested you know responsibly and here's a you know a stretch of the desert that's a national monument that you know people have littered and so like I said not make work projects real projects
but
put them
Lou,
in the
that,
Corps of Engineers put them
that no huh? that I have to interrupt but that with this generation and other past generations and the ones coming up that is not their intention. Their intention and their job in life is just to bring attention to the problem. They don't want to do anything. They just want to sit on their collective butts and just complain and moan or get out and throw rocks and destroy stuff. That's their job. Yep. And that's the way they are. That's it.
Well,
they're a bunch of losers. You want to talk about losers?
The thing that's coming to
I want to see the draft back. I want to see the damn draft back. Yeah. I want to see a bunch of those guys that wear the frickin' skinny jeans and have man buns and that need safe spaces. I want them to put a damn 70-pound backpack on and go for a 10-mile hike. And by the way, people, for those of you who may say right now, where did you serve? I served 10 years in the intelligence community, keeping your butt safe. So don't give me crap.
For the record, my pack was 82.
For the rec. Oh, 82. Okay, there you go. I think they actually lessened it. Oh, I don't know. But seriously, you know, get off your butts. Use some of your muscles. Build up that testosterone.
Build the wall.
Oh, heck yeah. No, they won't do that. No, but I'm just saying that we're raising a bunch of brats, complainers, snowflakes. What happened at Notre Dame, at a college that had a fantastic reputation for turning out smart men and women, and women and men of courage and intelligence? What happened at their graduation, Lou?
Well, I guess they decided to be courageous. And stand up and walk out on the commencement address from the vice president the other day because they were being courageous and exercising the ability to get up and vote with their feet, so to speak.
How
because
is that
courageous? They didn't feel safe.
They didn't feel safe. Were they given
so they're so courageous
pacifiers?
They could leave.
They didn't feel safe. They're at their university where they've spent 4 years and they don't feel safe at their own commencement. Please, you know, you people. Just...
No, I don't know how much. I don't know how much they paid for that education. I don't know how much their moms and dads or scholarship
Notre
funds
Dame,
paid
Notre
for
Dame
that
is
education.
A private university. It's pricey.
Oh yeah, it's that kind of. I don't know what it costs. I'll tell you something. if that was my kid, I'd say, to heck with your student loans. Pay me back first.
Yeah.
You know, if I was a scholarship awarding committee, I'd have those kids' phones ringing by the time they got off the parade ground saying, I want my money back.
That's right.
You know, and it's like the thing that gets me about it is I'm thinking, you know, we just said they were courageous for leaving because they didn't feel safe. Now, hold on a second. You're on the parade ground of your university where you spent all this time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Vice President of the United States, which in and of itself is an honor and a half.
That's,
you know,
right. Now we have a man who is not only intelligent, he was never accused of plagiarism.
Oh, that's right. He wasn't, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Well, I don't know. Well, I can't think of a vice president that would have actually done any plagiarism. Oh, yeah, there was one, wasn't there?
Yeah. Crazy Uncle Joe Biden.
That's the one. You know, but on top of the fact that this is going on, you've got the Vice President of the United States standing here. You know, you couldn't find a building anywhere within a half a mile of there that there wasn't a perfectly qualified expert marksman sniper covering the crowd. Helicopters, people in amongst the crowds. If you couldn't feel safe there, you're not going to go to some safe space and feel any damn better. That's for sure.
That's right. That's right.
You know, maybe what they should have done was they should have gone to an Ariana Grande concert. skip the commencement altogether and gone to an Ariana Grande.
Oh, yeah. And they would have felt really safe there, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I just looked it up. Notre Dame, year tuition and expenses, $67,000. And a little bit of change.
Is it annually or per semester?
Oh, no, honey, it's annual.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's just a chunk of change. Actually, that's what it costs to go to Syracuse now, too. It was expensive.
Well, I can't tell you what it costs to go to Uppsala because it's been gone for 25 years.
Do you know, I thought of going to Uppsala, but then I said, no, I got to get out of here. So.
Yeah, right. No, it would have been an easy commute, you know.
No, it wouldn't.
280 wasn't built yet back then.
No. But so these people walk out, and I don't know why the heck they weren't given. If they needed a safe space, they should have been given a pacifier instead of their diploma.
Well, as I said, I've got it on. I don't know if I said it last time we were on air, or I know we spoke about it off air recently. Some of these kids that are graduating and have graduated in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, mm-hmm. You know, are not getting accepted to post-grad mm-hmm. Colleges.
Oh, you know that for a
fact?
And
they're not getting – yes, I do.
Oh, good.
And some of these kids are not getting jobs.
So where are they going to wind up?
I don't know. Mommy and Daddy's basement, I suppose.
Well, either that or they'll wind up as a as a soldier in the Soros Army.
Yeah, right. You know, there's always room for one more in Soros Army.
Yep.
And you know, look, I could see if it was you know, a degree in, you know, women's rhythmic yoni dancing or something.
Jeez.
You know,
puppetry.
You know, which basically is a bachelor's degree in burger flipping.
Yeah, basically.
You know, fry frying and barista.
Yeah, and then they want $15 an hour, right? Because they failed as a college student. To me, that's a failure.
Well,
seriously,
that's a failure.
You actually thought you could get a job in majoring in this, or was this just a way of you expressing your inner self? Come on, folks, this is the real world.
Don't let me tell you something. You know something? If I sent my kid off to college and they came back and said, "Well, you know something? I support Bernie Sanders and, you know, all this other stuff." It's like, okay, well, you know, you're young. You know, you're young. You'll get over it. You know, so the day you get outside and get a job and see, you know, you earned $100, but you're only taking home 65.
Mm. I got a story.
You know,
about
that. Then there's union dues. Then there's, you know, now you got to get, you know, put gas in your car. You know, if I was a father and I said, okay, you know, and they're marching and they're this and that. Okay, fine. You know, and they come home and they say, oh, I can't get a job. Well, why is that? Well, you know, all I can get a job at is a barista at Starbucks. Well, go ahead. Oh, no, I got this degree. Well, guess what? You know, so when you walk in and you apply for a job or you apply for your MA program or MS program and they see that you put under, you know, outside, you know, extracurricular stuff. Well, I was worked for the Sanders campaign. I went to Black Lives Matter marches. You know, we had a sit-in for the GLBT only dormitory. You know, and then you get somebody else who comes to you with even a couple of points lower grade point average and says, "Well, under their extracurriculars, it's like, well, you know, I did, you know, I assisted two other professors in research. You know, I was a research assistant. I went and actually did something useful, like I, you know, went to the Native American reservations and, you know, taught English, and, you know, for a summer. And, you know, then they're going to turn around and going to look like this kid here, kid A, was an idiot.
Yep, exactly.
A kid B went out and improved not only their life, but the lives around them.
That's right.
Who do I want? You know, one kid went and the hardest work they did was pull on a pink hat and carry a sign.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And the other one went out somewhere with a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I going to hire?
Yeah.
You know, I think I would have turned, if I turned around and even if I promised my kid, well, you know, if you go to grad school, I'll pay for it. You know,
don't parents, you know, ask what you're going to major in? I mean, are they that stupid? Seriously. You know, where I want to major in puppetry. I actually had a friend whose major in college was film. What the hell is she doing in film? I mean, after she did, you know what she did? She wound up joining the army afterwards, okay? But, you know, these people had money, you know? So I guess it was okay for her to go and major in film. Big deal! Guess what? I majored in film. I keep watching TCM all the time.
I have a relative who is in school for drama.
And what is she going to go into the
theater?
Acting?
Yes, that's her intention. Yep,
okay,
absolutely,
that's
it's her
fine.
Intention.
That's fine.
That's
then.
What she wants to do. That's what she's born to do. It's what she's, you know, following.
That's
she's
fine.
Learning acting.
But what the hell does somebody do with a film thing or art history? Unless you're going to go work. Unless you're doing this because you do want to go and work at a gallery, at, you know, be part of, you know, that's fine. But film, she majored in film. What the hell is she going to do with it? She had no intention of doing anything with it.
I know a woman who just got her master's in, I guess it's actually a master's in, I don't know what it actually says, but it has something to do with photos and archiving, and she was a librarian for years and that kind of thing.
But that's... That's
she ended
okay.
up at the Smithsonian.
That's no, but that she obviously did that with a goal in mind. Okay, that was a career choice. It was part of a career choice. But you get these people who, you know, major in things and then they just don't do anything with it. They have no intention of doing anything with it afterwards. It's
well,
like
okay. let me
$150,000 on puppetry. I mean, what the hell is that?
Oh, yeah, and then somebody breaks in and sees they walk into the puppetry department and they see a black puppet hanging and they automatically call the the whole thing down as a race hate thing, you know, instead of saying it's a puppet. You know, let me backtrack. I think if I sent my son or daughter to school and they said, well, where are you going to go? Well, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to go. And okay, you know, what are you going to take? Well, you know, I'm going to take electrical engineering, you know, or I'm going to take medicine, or I'm going to take law, or I'm going to take even something like drama, you know, kind of a thing. Sure, you know, whatever it is, you know, music, you know, that's fine because those are liberal arts or English, you know, communication, stuff like that. That's fine. But if you come to me, you know, 1 year in or 2 years in and saying I'm changing my major to political activism or, you know, women's studies, or gender studies, or something like that, I'd turn around and say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! That check I just handed you to drop off the dean's office? Yeah, let me have it."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'd flick my bit right underneath it and say, "The hell you are."
Women's studies. I mean, like, give me a break. Oh, man. It's amazing. I really find it amazing, but I don't know. So anyway, there's so much else we have to talk about here.
Yeah, I know, but we had these kids, and literally kids from Seton Hall, who, by the way, the only coverage they got was from CNN. Platform to explain things was CNN. And of course, the kid is sitting there with the man bun, you know. Then we also had Harvard.
Oh,
you know, the Ivy Cup halls of Harvard had a African American only commencement.
Oh, how ridiculous! I mean, you know, actually, Martin Luther King is probably turning in his grave. That poor man, after everything that he went through, to integrate, to get integration, and now they don't want to be bothered.
The part that really gets me about it, because, you know, I just look at things that would I took statistics in college for about 15 seconds, and then I dropped the course because I'm like, no.
I took a statistics course.
So, but you know
it.
How I like
it
to...
It was a puzzle. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's okay. My puzzles have words in them. You know that statistically speaking, for however many kids were on that parade ground that day or hall, wherever they had it,
right,
that at least one of them was sitting there with either a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. T-shirt or button or something on, either under their robe or on the collar of their robe or on their stole, whatever. You know, at least one of them had. And you want to talk about sacrilege?
Yeah, I know. I know.
You want to talk about sacrilege.
I know. Again, they don't get it, do they? They don't get it.
No, they don't. They don't. And they're not supposed to. They're supposed to be in college. They're supposed to learn how to get it.
And obviously,
that's what college is for. It teaches you how to get it.
That's true. It teaches you how to learn. I know one professor
that's
said
right.
that. And how to discern. How to discern.
Yes.
Obviously,
critical thinking.
I do have a confession. When I was in college, I have a confession. I did not vote for, but I did support Jimmy Carter for president. Okay. After getting out and getting my job with NSA and realizing what he did, I became an avowed American conservative. So,
it's okay. Yeah. EOTS Salve. You know.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that greatly. yeah. We all make mistakes. But you see, I learned. But these kids just don't. So what else do we have to talk about, Lou? Come on here. There's so much. Russia.
Because the coverage has been so rabidly, derangedly... vitriolically aimed at the president, and this...
There's no basis for it.
Obviously, it's a... How did I see it put? One of the columnists put it this morning. I saw it. A cover-up of a crime that hasn't been committed.
you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's a deflection, because actually...
Of course.
The people who have had the connections with Russia... are the Democrats, Podesta.
And Clinton's in particular.
And Clinton's, yes. So
Podesta deal.
Yep.
Clinton's deals have direct, provable ties.
That's right.
To Russia.
That's right.
And
they're trying to turn.
So
nobody
wants to hear
Trump.
It. You know, we're busy looking at Flynn, and we're busy looking at the president, and we're busy looking at his son-in-law, and we're busy looking at his son, and we're busy looking at, you know, all these things. Instead of saying, you know, I'm waiting for MRC or somebody like that to put out the statistics on how much per minute coverage Manchester got versus the Russia probe scandal thing got.
I know.
During the 24 hours that followed
Do you know that MSNBC, in talking about the Manchester terrorist attack, they started off, it was, what's his face, Chris Matthews, started off his report by saying, we have reports of explosions at Manchester Arena in England, but first, the breaking news is Russia and Donald Trump. I was like, what? That's breaking news? Yep. There's nothing there. They see, this is they're using, I believe it was Goebbels, who said, you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. And that's what they're banking on. Yeah. And that's what they're banking on. But you know what? America has changed. We have people out there that, and you and I are among them, that no longer believe this stuff. And more people are joining our group as far as that is concerned. They've finally seen the light. And they're not believing this crap. And many people are just looking at this as just a ruse. It's a red herring. They're trying to look for some reason to get rid of him. It's not going to happen.
Let me tell you something that's also, when you say that people are joining our side. Mm-hmm. All right. I have a friend. Mm-hmm. She's gay. Mm-hmm. And I've known her for many, many years.
Okay.
And she said to me that she had indeed voted for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I've known her for many years. In other words, she's not a kid, you know.
Right. Okay.
And she's, you know, we're going back and forth on Messenger. Mm-hmm. And she said, can you tell me, please, where do I go? What site? Send me a link or whatever it is to find firearms training.
Oh. Really?
And I was like, really? And I said to her, I said, yeah, sure. I got 2-3 links right here. Bang, bang, bang. I sent them off to her. No pun intended. Bang, bang, bang. But I said, yeah, here's the information you need, you know, because I know where she lives, so I knew which part to look at. And I said, what brought this on? She said, well, another girl I know from a club we belong to brought up this organization called Pink Pistols.
Okay.
It's an organization devoted to firearm training and responsible use and all this other stuff for the LGBT community.
Okay.
That's pretty. So I went on and I looked, and son of a gun, it's true. It really exists, and that's exactly what it's for. I'm like, what do you know?
Well, my question is, why do they need the training? Are they going to turn around and attack you and me? Or is it to...
Well, no. I think that, you know, the admission from this woman I know, you know, and I have no doubt that at the very first time Obama ran, she voted for him. But I have my doubts as to whether or not she voted for him the second time.
Well,
I know several
Obama,
people.
Obama is—he's basically—he's Muslim. He may not be a practicing religious Muslim, but culturally, he is a Muslim. So, toward that end,
he's a secular cultural Muslim.
Yeah. So, maybe she finally saw the light. Who knows?
Well, whatever it is, you know, because everybody in that I encounter, because I've told you this before, I have several friends that are either, you know, gay or lesbian or somewhere along the spectrum. I even have a couple of transgendered friends. Mm-hmm. And I think what it is once they get over a certain age, they start realizing, you know, when they have been working for a living for a while, and, you know, and I don't mean in, you know, rhythmic women's yoni dancing. I mean, you know, clay bunny making, finger painting.
Right.
Stuff like that. Once they've been working for, especially, you know, when you see women in the STEM fields, and they're working and they're doing, whether it's, as a laboratory, worker, mm-hmm. or whether they're, a doctor, or whether they're in, in the electrical trade or what have you. I think it's starting to turn around to them and say, yeah, okay, here's how you get your firearms training. Largely not that they're going to turn around and use them on us, but they're afraid of for their own safety because they don't go along with the party line.
Yeah, that's yeah.
And this is something I've seen with my own eyes, mm-hmm. that if you're not into, their, lockstep,
right,
then you're a pariah. Mm-hmm. And with the way things have been going with the radical any element, you know, whether it's, you know, whether it's racial, whether it's gender or orientation or nationality or you know, Islam or religion, you know, the fringes, you know, look at these Antifa ninjas.
Oh, geez.
Soros's, you know, what would you call them? You know, his panzer division,
lackeys?
So to speak.
Or,
well,
or
toadies and lackeys.
Brown shirts?
Yes.
Brown shirts?
Brown shirts, yes, exactly. Brown shirts. His brown shirts. Which is appropriate considering he was a Nazi sympathizer.
That's true, he was.
And collaborator.
Yes.
So, you know, you look at these people and you say, you know, they feel for their safety the same way, you know, and have every right to defend themselves against that and
That's
as
right,
any other
okay.
American does. Yeah. And so, you know, I felt almost vindicated. Almost vindicated to have this woman contact me for that information. You know, not that she wasn't qualified to find it herself, but she trusted me because she's known me for almost as long as I've been wearing a gun. Mm-hmm. You know, so, which is, you know, I don't know, 50-something years. You know, so,
whoa.
Yeah. So, you know, with that said, I almost feel vindicated. So, there are, however, pushes for these Antifa types to arm themselves.
Yeah.
Which scares me. But this goes
because
back
you know
to where
what?
We started.
Yeah, but you know what, too? The thing is, and you're right to be scared, because these people do not have any respect for life at all. And they
or property.
Will be very, yeah, and they will be very free with the use of that firearm. Whereas you and I would not ever use a firearm unless it was absolutely necessary. You know
in the
that.
Defense of, you know, in
yes.
the defense and life
Home
and blame of myself
yes.
or someone else, yes.
Yes, exactly. But I think that they would use it liberally. I really do. I don't think they would have any compunction in you know, pulling that trigger.
Well, look at what we,
That's
you know,
the
look, here's the thing. This is why I say it's bringing us right almost full circle here, because of the fact that in France, where it's against the law, but not as against the law as it is in England, you know, to have a firearm, people are turning around and saying, you know, this is what I want to see what happens with this whole thing with Frexit, because the people in France, in the streets, you know, the people from, I don't remember what it's called, the French, you know, people's thing.
Mm-hmm.
They were all marching for Le Pen, and they were marching for Frexit, and they were marching
so,
for...
So, yeah, but how did she only get 35% of the vote?
They're starting to shoot
vote?
People. Oh, voter fraud. How else did they do it?
Oh, you think so?
You know, I think so, because, you know, people are starting to be... And here's the trick. If the French, you know, who... somebody sent me a joke the other day saying, why have the French had so many civil wars? So they could win one once in a while. You know, no offense to my French friends.
Oh, my God. I'm wondering about the French, too. I mean, it's like, come on, guys. Oh.
Well, we know the mafiosi are taking care of business down there in Sicily, and we know that the people of France are starting to, when they get accosted by, you know, young Muslim men, they're shooting them.
They got to do more. They got to do more. I'm sorry. They
and
have to do more.
Here's where we tie into this, because England, too bad, they're sunk. They couldn't get enough guns into enough people's hands in enough of a hurry to be able to save themselves. But the latest statistics show that in this country there is at least one firearm for every man, woman, and child in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, for each one of those guns, there is roughly 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every man, woman, and child in this country doesn't have a gun. So that means there are other people who have more than one, and that means
right.
they have more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
Right.
These kids with their masks on are in for pretty rude awakening, because it's been said that this July, this weekend, this 4th of July weekend, which actually falls on the 1st and 2nd, is going to be a summer of fire. Now, I know I said that about last summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know I said it last year, and lo and behold, I was right. Yeah, now, I don't know if it's true this year or not. But with as many towns, cities, and states that have ruled it legal to run over protesters blocking your way on a public highway.
Yeah.
You know, up to and including if you kill the son of a gun.
Yep.
You're held harmless because they violated your rights. And a vehicle is a weapon. We know that. I mean, just ask the people in Nice and Berlin and, you know,
well,
places
look,
like that.
If I am on the road for a legitimate reason, no matter what it is, whether it was just seen go to the grocery store, and I am not breaking any laws, and all of a sudden, these people get in front of me, block my way, and I feel my life is in danger, you betcha I'm going to go 0-60. I'm not kidding.
That's what my wife said. That's what my wife said.
I mean, yeah, try. You know, when you see people surrounding you and everything, or try. No. Uh-uh. Get out of my way. I'll give them a warning, and I'll say, get out of my way, beep the horn, and then I'm going.
I used
I'm tired
to,
of this
on
crap.
Occasion, on occasion during the day, I would, you know, call my doctor and say to him, you know, buddy, I need to get in. And he'd say, all right, come on up, this kind of thing, with some of the issues I face.
Right.
However, sometimes these issues wouldn't happen when he was in the office.
Right.
So I would page him and go to the ER.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, I'd page him with 411, meaning just for your information, or 911. I'm on my way to the ER and I need you there now, kind of a thing. And I guess I go to the ER 4 times a year.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. But you know, his day off was Tuesday, so suppose it's Tuesday and I needed, to treatment or something, and he'd say go to the ER, and okay, fine, so I'll go to the ER, and I'm on that road. And all of a sudden, they decide they're going to close the road by sitting there, you know, with their arms locked, singing We Shall Overcome or some such crap, you know, which I'm sorry is wrong.
Yes.
First of all, a few of them are going to get shot. Second of all, a bunch of them are going to get run over.
I'm tired of this. I mean, you know, how dare you? Who do you think you are? Seriously, who do they think they are?
I think what started it in Missouri was the fact that an ambulance got waylaid for something like 45 minutes.
Yes.
And had to turn around, take surface streets, and then go backwards on the highway and stuff like that, you know, because of a protest. So the state of Missouri, as well as the state of Georgia, and now I believe Alabama just jumped on, and a few other places are saying, you know what? You know, now they may put restrictions on it. I haven't read the statutes. You know, they may say if it's a matter of life and death, or if it's an emergency, if it's a medical emergency.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. If I'm in my car by myself and these people are surrounding my car, to me I consider that a threat to my life, to my well-being. And you know, if the police or the authorities have problem with me going through this line, it's their problem, because I will fight you every step of the way. You know, when you have a mob surrounding your vehicle, I mean, what are you going to do? Just sit there and let them beat you to death? I'm not.
I spoke to a friend of mine who happens to be a bit of a wheel in the NRA up in Maine.
Uh-huh.
And he says, oh, you know, you're going down there. Isn't there a college right there? And this, and I said, yeah, you know, it's 12, 15 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you going to do if you're, you know, rolling down the road going just a little, you know, those quaint shops somewhere, and all of a sudden, you know, I said, well, there'd better be more than, you know, 32 of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, why? I said, because I carry 31 rounds. you know, 10 in magazine, 1 in the pipe, and 2 more 10-round magazines. If there's 32 of them, I'm in trouble. If there's only 31, I got this. Hold my beer. You know. <it's> like,
no, I know, folks, you may hear us laughing, but we consider this a real problem in our country right now. And you have innocent people that are being prevented from living their life. You have people who need medical care who have been denied access to quick medical care because of these people. And there has to be an end. There has to be an end.
And restraining commerce.
Yes.
You know, restraint of trade. I mean, you know, let's say you're a pimply faced little not to denigrate pimply faced little, you know, pizza delivery drivers, but you're sitting there with, you know, $100 worth of pizzas on the seat next to you.
Yeah, and you're supposed to get there in 30 minutes, remember?
Or less, right? You know, you know, so of course I think $100 worth of pizzas these days is three. But I remember our beats was cheap, you know.
Oh yeah,
but,
I do too. Hey, I remember.
I don't worry about it. We make our own, you know.
So do I. Most of the, no, actually, sometimes I wimp out. We won't even go into gravy. But anyway, yeah, I know. It's getting to be. Although one good thing is that there are laws being passed now in different cities that say you cannot be masked. If you're at a rally or some sort of protest, you have to do it without a mask on your face, and they will arrest you. In a lot of cases, they will arrest a person and say, either remove the mask, you're going to go. And, you know, why? Is this a, you know, like a ninja thing, I guess? Or
yes, because they're all in black clothes with backpacks with mace and rocks.
They not want mommy and daddy to see them?
No, I don't think they give a damn about mommy and daddy anymore. Okay. I think they're so soaked up in it. Did you ever wonder, you know, you look around and you say, you know, they're in the streets of some city, right? Some city they're in, right?
Right.
And you ever stop and think about, where the hell did they get the rocks?
Good point. That's a good point.
You know, it's like, wait a minute. Wait. Where'd you get rocks?
You know, in the city? That's an excellent point.
You know, well, that's what's in those backpacks. Like I said, big cans of bear mace and flash grenades that they buy online and, you know, rocks and bottles and, you know, that kind of thing. Here's my thing is in New York City for over 100 years, it has been against the law, unless you're under 10 going to Halloween, you know, trick or treat. Mm-hmm. It's been against the law in New York City to do anything in public masked. Now, I don't believe that covers, you know, legitimate, EMTs wearing a mask or something.
Right,
I don't think,
right,
you know, but it's against the law to wear a mask.
That's amazing.
Oh, by the way, do you know why it's against the law in New York City to wear a mask? What provoked them to pass that law?
What?
The KKK, another Democrat organization. Caused New York City to pass that law.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. So if more and more and more communities are doing just that, and let me tell you something, that's going to put the kibosh on the summer of fire faster than anything else. You tell them they can't have masks on it, and instead of having a phalanx of police, you know, just trying to push back the crowd, just every time one of them shows up in a mask, be
arrest.
2, 3, 4 blocks from the protest, stop them.
Yep. I agree.
And that's that. You know, speaking of the Democrat organizations, you know, the Soros organization is bad enough. The Klan, you know, everybody goes, oh, you're a Klansman. Yeah, well, no, I can't be a Klansman. I'm a Republican.
That's right.
You know, it's
that's
a Democrat.
Right. That's right. Democrats are the Klansmen.
And I'm a little bit a lot of things. But anyway. You know, what about the DNC?
Oh, my gosh. They have really gone off the deep end. From Perez to the California delegation. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I'm speechless here. I had a
hard enough time with the DNC chair, Perez, the couple of times they showed him at this and that and the other, you know, speech or rally or something, using what I considered gutter language for a person standing there in a suit, you know, and people dressed nicely, you know, with children on stage, I considered it a little bit beneath the station, so to speak. Beneath the pay grade for sure. But now the Democrat National Committee California chapter, a week or so ago, led a rousing, rollicking cheer of fornicate Donald Trump with two middle fingers raised in the air amongst the crowd.
And they were cheering. They were cheering it. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, this really endears.
And Pelosi was there,
too.
And Feinstein was there, and
oh,
Waters was there. And,
oh,
and they
man.
Were all there. And,
oh, yeah. Oh, there. Oh, you mean these ladies, their sensibilities weren't insulted? Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I mean, gee.
I guess not.
They get so insulted when one guy uses a word to describe a groupie woman, but this didn't disturb their sensibilities. Isn't that interesting?
Well, like I said, the part that gets me is that I believe it's beneath the pay grade in the first place. Now, I haven't seen any tape that actually shows
what
Pelosi or Waters or
no,
or
but you know what, Pelosi
Feinstein actually saying it. You know,
Pelosi's
but,
going downhill anyway. I mean, I think her brain is really going. She keeps making more and more mistakes when she speaks, and she keeps hesitating. She keeps, stopping, and seems to be in a fog. I mean, don't forget, you know, we're all
I think that's the reason that in the last two or three years you've seen them grooming Princess Liawatha up there.
Oh man, she's another
as a successor.
One. Oh my God! Well, you know what? It looks like she's going to have. I don't know if she's going to have a Democrat running against her in the primary, but the Republicans are already coming up. There is a state rep. Last name is Deal, who is considering running for her seat, and he is very outspoken against her already. So I think he can handle her. You know, I do. So hopefully, you know, we'll get her the
heck
out.
That would be a hope.
Yeah, that is a hope. But, there is hope there. I do know that a lot of people in Massachusetts are very interested in this guy.
I mean, what's her slogan going to be? 1% less loose screws than Nancy Pelosi? I mean,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my God. You know, I mean, she's amazing with the stuff that she says. And you know, I don't know whose voice I dislike more, hers or Hillary's. All I can say is when they both get together on stage, it's, oh, man. You want to talk about a shrieking fest?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking about women, yeah. Democratic women, you can see the Democrats and are trying, because I'm looking at this loser and saying, there's no way, trying to groom good old Chelsea Clinton to follow
in
her mother's
trying.
Footsteps. Oh, my God. She is so stupid. It's unbelievable. I mean, she talks about the most inane things. She said climate change was responsible for, things against women or something. God, what was it again? I'm trying to remember. Let me see if I can bring it up. I mean, because this woman is
Kind of makes you wonder how she got a $600,000 a year gig right out of college.
Oh, her mom, you know that. It was all. Oh, gee, you know what, NBC, you owe me.
Mm-hmm.
It was Bill and Hillary. What are you kidding me?
Back to the Manchester thing. Something came across my wire yesterday, and I meant to mention it then, and I'm going to mention it now only because it deserves being said. CBS had a commentator on that said, well, I don't know, but the last time I listened to Ariana Grande, I wanted to kill myself too.
Oh. That was not good.
Talk about your sensitive, feeling, caring liberal media, right?
Yeah, where are they? Oh, my God. What a jerk. Oh, but he'll probably be given a Profiles in Courage Award.
Yeah, right.
Or
an Edgar R. Murrow.
Yeah, one of those things. Because I can't believe this. Oh my God, people are idiots.
I just sometimes can't. And it makes it. It. How does one again? If it doesn't happen to you, it doesn't affect your life.
Yeah.
How much of this, though, do people really want us to believe badly enough that it's going to start affecting them?
Hmm.
You know, what's going to happen when...
You know what? They're in denial, Lou. These people are in denial. Seriously.
You know, if you look at the graphic of the United States on what was red and what was blue, mm-hmm. The Electoral College is in place for just that reason.
That's right.
Because the blue spots up in the Northeast and down in the Southwest and, you know, and up in the Pacific Northwest and stuff like that have enough population and enough places, enough votes to change what happens to the entire rest of the country. That's why we have the Electoral College. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in those same blue zones, you've got enough opportunity, so to speak, for, oh, let's just say some people may not have voted only once.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
As a matter of fact, a woman just got 8 years for, mm-hmm. And then, of course, deportation for not only voting for, like, I don't know, five elections or some such thing, voting multiple times, five times in each election for five elections, but was bragging about it. And then said the sentence was harsh because she didn't understand the difference between legal resident and citizen. I think somebody must have pointed that out to you the first time you voted.
Oh,
and if
God.
They didn't, it's on them. But, you know, so anyhow, so that's why the Electoral College exists. But when you stop and think about it, you're going to say, oh, well, you know, what is it? Resist? Wait.
What? Resistance?
Resist. There's an anagram that's floating around the internet. Resist, defy, you know, something. And then there's another one, BAMN. BAM instead of damn, and it's by any means necessary.
Oh, isn't that nice?
You know, it's an Antifa crew. But, you know, people, when you come out to the rest of America, you know, you want to stay in Seattle or Portland, fine. You want to stay in LA or Frisco, fine. Mm-hmm. You come out of those little enclaves and on the East mm-hmm. Coast, you want to come out of Portland or Boston or New York, fine. But you come out of those little enclaves, and I got news for you. The American people do not see things the way you see things.
That's right.
And I mean, like, by 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. And if you start being a fool around the rest of the American people, you're going to get hurt. I'm not saying we're going to hurt your feelings, your widow feelings. I'm saying you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
It's going to leave a mark.
Yeah.
You know, we got this one former, get this, ethics professor up there who was going around down at, was it Berkeley or was it San Bernardino or Santa Barbara? One of the UC system.
Yeah.
Former ethics professor running around beating people over the head with one of those U-shaped bicycle locks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think it was Berkeley. But, well, go ahead.
You know, if he tried that stuff, I got news for you. If he tried that stuff, not that many miles further away, mm-hmm. You know, in Albuquerque.
Yep.
You know, he'd have got shot.
Well, let's hope he would have, you know. These people are starting to get a little bit out of hand. Because, you know why? Because they see a lot of their efforts failing. And with these liberals, these progressives, communism, the communists, violence is their act of desperation. This is it. Everything else has failed or failing or has a chance of failing. And now they're mm-hmm. saying the only thing that they can do now is violence. Yeah. You know,
well, but, that's great. But in some areas, violence doesn't work.
That's right.
People say, oh, you know, and of course those all sitting there holding hands and singing Kumbaya while violence begets violence. Well, bring me some violence and you're not going to not beget violence from me.
Yeah.
You know, I will not attack any man.
Mm-hmm.
But I will defend from any man.
That's right. That's right. That's two different things. Hey, listen, I'd like to also kind of focus on the Seth Rich controversy, which is now becoming more and more evident that
he was the real controversy? Yeah, yes. The real controversy with the real criminal activity,
that's
with the real
right.
cover-up with that
right.
needs a real special prosecutor, special counsel? Mm-hmm. You mean that one?
Mm-hmm.
People have been dropping dead around the Clintons for 40 years.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Let me just say this thing about Chelsea Clinton. I finally found it. She says that child marriage and women's health are connected to climate change.
Okay. Okay. So that's what she says. I don't believe it. Do you?
No, of course not. And it's stupid. Look at try and glean some logic from it. It's impossible. I mean, she's stupid. I'm sorry. She
stupid.
Has
stupid. Vapid. You know.
Yes.
Vapid is.
She is.
Yep.
You hear her speak. She sounds like a 12-year-old. She really does. Somebody who's starting to give their initial speech, and really has yep. a lot to learn. And what is she, 32?
Something I have like no that. Idea how old she is, because all I know is she does I haven't actually sat and listened to her speeches, but when they play clips of them, you're right. She sounds like she's doing her first oral yeah. report to her eighth grade class.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of get that in there. But, you know, this thing about Seth Rich, I mean, now I am not familiar with this person. Kim.com, are you more familiar with that?
No.
He states that he's supposedly he's some bigwig on the internet. And he's a, somebody's going to have to help us out there. So if you know exactly who he is, I've been reading what he's been saying, but he...
No, I don't know who he is. So,
oh, okay.
And I know a lot about the internet, so...
Oh, all right.
You know, but
I've
heard other names bandied about, you know, but...
But anyway, he, you know, he has been saying, yes, you know, Seth Rich did release the DNC... information to WikiLeaks. He was the leaker and he was killed for it. Now Fox has basically come out and said that Sean Hannity was wrong in saying what he did. Sean Hannity came out and saying, yes, there is a conspiracy about Seth Rich's death. And Fox News basically is trying to shut him up. He has quieted down a bit about it, but a lot of other people aren't. You know, for
somebody the whole Pizzagate thing was, you know,
yeah.
You know, and I fully expect that very shortly after he enters the correctional facility, they'll find Wiener hanging from his cell.
Yes, I do think so. Yeah. I do. I think so. Yeah, I don't think he's.
Or before he even gets there, he'll kill himself by shooting himself in the back of the head twice with smoke.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I just. I look at this and it's like, okay, so there's proof about this guy, but yet they're trying to turn the attention onto Trump.
It's diversion. It's smokescreen. 101.
Diversion.
Obfuscation. 101. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, for supposedly his parents are saying there's absolutely no fact. There's nothing in that. But either to me, and I put this on Twitter, either they so believe in the DNC cause that they would willingly sacrifice their son for the cause, or they're being paid and intimidated. You know?
Yeah, one or the other. Look at it this way. Look at that Manning fool.
Oh, yeah.
Bradley/Chelsea Manning.
She's out, thanks to Obama.
28 years early.
Yes.
After you, me, and the next few people down the street paid to have sexual reassignment surgery.
Yes.
And you know what?
I'll be honest. I hope somebody gets him. Seriously.
Well, here's the thing. Here's two-pronged thing here.
He committed treason.
Two-pronged thing here. First of all, look, if that's the way you want to live your life, you live your life. Look, this is America. You're allowed to live your life like that.
I don't care. But I don't want to have to pay for it.
I wouldn't do it. Ergo, I don't want to pay for yours. You know, you want to do that, it's on you. It's on your dime. You live that way, you pay for it. You know, whatever it is you want to do, God bless you. Have a nice day. You know, like the bathroom issue. I don't care who goes in there. I don't care what they do. All I want to know is they washed their hands when they left. You know. But then he was released 28 years early by the former president, and He's a very recognizable face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not easy to hide anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And probably won't, because it's not in his nature to hide anywhere. But boy, yeah. I'll tell you something. I bet you he's going to wish sooner or later that he was back in prison.
I hope so. Because, you know, the man committed treason.
I know that.
He gave sensitive documents, and what did we do in the past with people, military, who committed treason?
Here's my thing. As far as I'm concerned, our tax dollars would have been much better spent on a stout hank of hemp rope.
Yes, I agree.
Because as an enlisted man, that's what you get. As an officer, you get the option of firing squad.
Right. But yeah, exactly.
As an enlisted man, it's hanging. And as far as I'm concerned, he should have been hanged. Period. Not released 28 years early. But it's okay. It's okay, because after all the leaking he did, they're going to find him hanging anyway.
Probably. And you may think, people, that we're being harsh, but no. Not when it comes in defense of this country. Sorry. You do the crime, you pay. I'm sorry. How many people did he put in danger? How many people's lives did he put in danger? How much of our
security... In danger? Hell, how many people, because we're not going to know this, how many people died because of it?
Yes, that's right.
We're not going to know that. That's not something we're ever going to find out, FOIA or otherwise. We're never going to find that information out. That's too dark, you know.
That's
but,
right.
You know, I just...
I agree. It's time to stop pussyfooting with these traitors, with these people who aid our enemies in killing our citizens or people in the intelligence community or military. It's time to stop playing footsie with these guys and just treat them the way they should be treated, dangling at the end of a rope.
That's right. You know, doing the last dance. You know,
exactly. I agree. I agree, because how many of our military have suffered because of this jackass?
Yeah.
You know,
bring it back to the Russia angle.
Oh, gosh. You know,
here's the thing. We're talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, the president gave classified information in a meeting with the Russian ambassador and the secretary of state or whatever he actually
Prime
was.
Prime Minister, well, yeah, Lavrov.
Prime Minister.
Foreign Minister.
I look at it like this. First and foremost, the president can declassify anything he wants, anytime he wants, because he is the ultimate buck stops here when it comes to classified.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He is of the final pay grade.
Mm-hmm.
It's in his bailiwick, his purview, his remit. He can do anything he wants with that information because he's the one where the information stops.
Right.
All right. Second of all, there were a finite number of people in that room.
That's right.
So... Well, a leak, okay.
Right.
If
it should be easy.
It leaked.
Yeah.
It should be easy to figure out.
That's right. See, the thing is, though, is that you have good old John McCain screaming about having Lavrov in the Oval Office, and it's like, you know, he's having a fit. Okay, McCain, where was your objection when Obama had like felons in the White House, or terrorists?
Yep.
People associated with terrorists. Organization. Unrepentant
terrorists.
Where was your outrage then? There was none. There was absolutely none on his part.
So this leak has got to be infinitely easy to find because it was a finite number of people.
Now, supposedly, they have discovered the people. Three people. And right now they are being referred to whatever... authorities.
And then when they're done, they'll be standing on the unemployment line, I'm sure. But if they're not, you know, making license plates, which in my opinion is where they belong.
Yes, I would like to see that.
You know, breaking rocks comes right to mind.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But if they did leak it, that's one thing. If there was no leak, then it's fake news.
That's right.
If it was ginned up, manufactured in the offices at the Washington Post... You know, or for that matter, any of the other wonderful, you know, super Asian papers that we've got, the Times, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the, you know, Atlanta Journal, you know, all these wonderful. Yeah. So it's the same thing with any of it. And did you notice, by the way, that the number of things being blamed on leaks has gone down dramatically from the first 100 days to now?
that's a point. Yeah, I really. I'm thinking that some people are already gone. Never to be heard from again.
So immigrants coming across the border have dropped by hysterical percentages.
Yes, I believe it's 80%.
Labor force participation rate has gone up. Mm-hmm. Wall Street has gone up. Unemployment has gone down. Mm-hmm. Manufacturing, not just tech, but manufacturing jobs are being kept here, being brought here with amazing amounts of billions of dollars of investment by not just foreign companies, but by American companies. Mm-hmm. Sounds to me like he's doing a pretty doggone good job.
Yeah, and he hasn't even been in office for 6 months yet.
Yeah, so, it's like I said, he could have cleaned up, everything on his to-do list, in the first 100 days, save one, and they would have said, well, why didn't you fix that? Cured cancer, they'd say, well, why didn't you cure AIDS?
That's
He's got them so confused that if he turned around tomorrow morning and banned guns, the Dems would come out in favor of the Second Amendment.
Exactly.
It's just – so now we have to find these – they call it – what are they calling it now? The dark deep government?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The deep state?
I believe deep state. Deep state, yeah.
Deep state, yeah.
You got to find these leaks. You got to plug them. And as far as I'm concerned, look, when it comes to confirmable positions, which, mm-hmm. by the way, there's still something like 50 confirmable mm-hmm. positions that the Democrats aren't allowed being acted on. Mm-hmm. And, I think we're going to see that change pretty doggone quick.
Yeah.
Because I think they're starting to catch on the fact that the American people are catching on.
Yep,
see these things. You go and you see these things, whether it's on, social media or video media, and you start seeing, the likes and the dislikes, thumbs ups and thumbs downs and stuff. And you start seeing, that you see, you see 100,000 thumbs ups, but you see, 2.5 million thumbs downs on some of this stuff.
That's right.
Some poll was taken recently by Harvard, mm-hmm. Trying to estimate the American people's confidence in the media, the fourth estate, and apparently it's in print it's like a 4% or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in televised broadcast media, it's in like 20-something%, and in cable media, it's like 30% or something. I mean, it's like, and this wasn't just the MRC, Media Research Center, or right. Pew. This is Harvard. Although I'm starting to wonder about them too, with that African American only commencement. But
Harvard has been, a hotbed for liberalism for, decades upon decades now. So it's like, that's another university.
They're trying to catch up, But
yeah,
trying to catch up to Berkeley.
Berkeley, I know.
Well, you got to watch out. You got to watch out what you wish for, because the University of Missouri there is having to close dormitories and is suffering a critical shortage of alumni donations and a critical shortage of tuition paying students enrolling.
That's right.
Or re-enrolling.
Okay. Your actions have consequences, folks. Actions always have consequences, no matter what they are. So I think, wow, Lou, we've really talked our heads off today.
We tend to.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we tried that for a while. We tried using an agenda, and it worked out very well. We just got away from it again because I'm a cut arm,
Well, no, I mean, I think we basically just kind of, said, okay, let's go switch to something else, but, we try it occasionally, but don't forget, we have been a little bit behind, and so much has happened. Mm-hmm. Now that they're going to have that special prosecutor Mueller, who happens to be a longtime pal of Comey, and I don't know how that's going to work out, but I think that this is all going to go bye-bye real quick. I really do. I mean, Mueller's got his own problems. New budget. Let's just kind of, the budget has come out. Trump wants to cut.
Uncomey.
Yeah, what about it?
If he took such detailed notes that they're going to use this, and they're hanging this like a sword of Damocles over President Trump, you know, if he took all those notes that are so detailed, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff that he's got this reputation for, where are the ones on all the investigation in Hillary, all the meetings about Hillary, all the meetings about,
he wouldn't need to do
Susan Rice, you know.
Don't forget though, but him and Susan Rice and Hillary, I mean, he's their pal. He hates Trump, so sure, there might be notes. I don't think so, though. I think
what the president should do, and it's just my opinion, is start going from department to department, and if you're left over from the Obama administration, you're fired.
I agree. I agree completely on
even
that.
Even if you're doing a good job. If you're in any way, shape, manner, or form allowed to touch anything with a confidential on it, let alone mm-hmm. secret, top secret, eyes only, you know, SPA or whatever it's called, I think that he should just turn around and say to every department, you know, the Bureau, the NSA, the CIA, the Department of Agriculture, Department of Energy, you know, whatever, Homeland Security, anybody that's under you that is a leftover from Obama is fired, period. There's enough people out there, good enough, solid Americans that are not, even if they supported Obama, they're not a leftover, a holdover. They don't have the information. They don't have the experience. They don't have the keys to the drawer.
Put
somebody else in.
That's right. I agree with you completely on that.
Because, you know, this whole thing with Comey, he should have fired him on January 21st at 1 o'clock.
I don't know why he didn't. Maybe he thought he could work with him. But, no, I'm glad he did fire him. You know, but now the Dems, they go from, this man should be fired, to, what sort of agenda do you have that you fired him? It's like, make up your mind. So,
he could ban guns tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and by 9:05, Schumer would be out there in with a camera in his face saying, "We support the Second Amendment."
Yeah, I know. They're hypocrites. The Democrats are hypocrites. If they don't accomplish it, it doesn't exist to them. They're the ones that have to accomplish these things. But if you do something that is a pet project of theirs. Oh, no, that can't happen, because we have to get the credit for it. I think
that's
we should.
That's right. If the feather isn't in their cap, the feather doesn't exist.
That's right. That's right.
Or there should be a special prosecutor to find out where the feather went.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think we're going to have to start winding this up here, folks. I mean, I think we've been talking quite a bit. We've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we tend to.
Yeah, I know, but I think it's good. There is something, though, folks, that I need to touch on. It is personal. For those of you who have been listening to this podcast, at the end of all my podcasts, you will hear our producer, Barry, going, "Speak, Sammy, speak!" And you will hear Alaskan Malamute Samson bark. I am sad to say that we lost Sammy on May 7th. It was quite unexpected, and it was a horrible experience. Being a barrel-chested dog, unfortunately, he is subject to bloat, and that is what took him. We managed to get him to an emergency vet where they did perform surgery, and he was actually doing well, and then 3 hours later he arrested, and we lost him. He was 13 years old, and we had only had him for 8 years. We got him from the shelter when he was 5. He was an amazing dog. He was family. He was mommy's puppy. He was mommy's boy, and he filled our lives with so much joy and happiness, and I miss him. Every day I miss him. We did have him cremated, and he is home with us now, but unfortunately, he is no longer with us, and it is a shock. And he is not going to be easily replaced if we replace him at all. We can't replace him. We just can't. But I miss him. My husband misses him. And I just want to let everybody out there know, and I didn't mean to get verklempt on this, but it's been a rough 3 weeks, folks. It really has. Because so, no more Sammy, unfortunately, but, and we miss him, and we love him, so, say something, Lou, please.
But we are going to keep the sign off.
Yes, yes, Sammy will stay there.
Yes, indeed. It's been a heck of a year, with everything we've discussed. You know, we talk, you know, obviously the name of the podcast is Political QRM, but every once in a while, you know, the human touch comes in, as you may or may not know. Not you, Amory, you know. Back in February, Debbie and I lost our son. You know, the, you know, 2 days after he was married, he had an aneurysm, and which you just can't predict, you know, period. You know,
that's right.
You go to 99 and 44, 100 years old, or you can go to 9 minutes old. And when it goes, and... You know, I mean, unless they're in there anyway, nothing they can do to change it. So it's been a heck of a 2017. But that as it may, you know, if you wouldn't mind, you know, some comments, that's fine. You know, we'd like that. And I know I get most of your comments off of the website, but, you know, a word of encouragement here and there on the website wouldn't be too bad. And speaking of which, hey, even if it's not encouragement, you know, don't forget to comment. Don't forget to listen.
As long as it's respectful.
Yeah, and comments from wherever, you can find us, of course, on politicalqrm.com. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Blueberry. And you can find us linked on Facebook, Twitter, Kodias, Gab AI, and Minds. As well as anywhere else I trip over and stick it in anyway.
By the way, on our site, Lewis put up a few columns, which are excellent. Please take a read. They're very, very timely, and you really want to get his perspective on a number of things. I actually did a vent on there after the Manchester Arena terrorist attack. But Lou's also a very, very good. So please read, listen, you know,
and comment.
Welcome. Yeah. Comment. By the way, folks, just this is, Memorial Day weekend, and please remember those who sacrificed all so we could live in safety. And remember their families also, especially recently. We've lost a number of soldiers over in Afghanistan. And try in some way this weekend to honor them. Even if you stand in front of an American flag with your hand over your heart and just say the Pledge of Allegiance with these people in mind, I know it would be greatly appreciated by those who, you know, those families who gave their loved ones and those who gave their lives for us. Just something.
I'm blessed in my new home, to where we put my desk, office, cubicle, whatever you want to call it, directly inside of where my American flag is outside.
Excellent.
And I do it every day. Mm-hmm. As a proud United States Army veteran, as a matter of fact, in the state of Pennsylvania, by the way, on your license or your state ID or whatever you carry, they actually put a little American flag with veteran underneath it. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Barry has veteran tags up here. Yep.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. But I'm saying directly on the document, let alone the license plate.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
So it's kind of neat. But as a proud Army veteran, let me explain. You know, all gave some gave all, and some still give. Right? Memorial Day is not for me. Memorial Day is not for our sons, daughters, brothers, and sisters who currently are out there doing what I once did. Memorial Day is for the people who are gone.
That's right.
We had Armed Forces Day the other day. That was for those who serve. Mm-hmm. We have Veterans Day in the fall. That's for those of us who did serve. Mm-hmm. Memorial Day is for our honored dead. And it's not, I mean, it's not, hot dogs and hamburgers and ribs and steaks are nice, but you know what they say around Christmas time? There's a reason for the season.
Yeah.
The reason we're here having these hot dogs, hamburgers, ribs, steaks, soda and pretzels and beer is because of those who are under the holes in the ground.
That's right.
And please keep that in mind. May God bless each and every one of them. And may God bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.